A lesson tonight is out of Matthew 12, 9 to 14. We also have harmonized passages, Mark 3, 1 to 6, Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Christ's defense of his divine healing on the Sabbath. The religious leaders were intent on trying to catch Jesus violating the Sabbath in order to condemn him to death. So they arranged for him to be faced with the need to heal on the Sabbath in violation of their rules. Well, Jesus' response to this confrontation demonstrated his defense of divinely healing on the Sabbath, what we view in Matthew 12, 9 to 14. That's the text that we're going to be using tonight for the most part. Also, Mark 3, 1 to 6 and Luke 6, 6 to 11 for our insight, our application, and edification. We're going to spend most of the time in Mark's gospel, so I'm going to read that passage and then we'll get into it. Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man there who had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man worth more than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then he said to the man, "Stretch forth your hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, just as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. All right. The Hebrew rabbis taught that it was a violation of the Sabbath prohibition against working for one to heal by administering a medicinal remedy, a touch, or an outward application to the body, except in cases of actual danger to life. In other words, if it was a life-threatening situation, yeah, you could go ahead and administer healing. But if it wasn't life-threatening, you couldn't do it. However, this ruling opened up a large field for discussion, and according to some, disease of the ear, according to some, a throat disease, while according to others, such a disease as angina involved danger and superseded the Sabbath law. So they had a lot of disagreements as to what comprised the death, a life-threatening disease. So this is, they're straining at a gnat in order to follow a camel on this one. Well, with this set of rules and his hearers, Jesus entered a synagogue one Sabbath and taught, and in its midst was a man with a withered hand. Now, we're not told if the Pharisees had planted him there, but they well might have, or if they were taking advantage of his presence. But either way, it was an opportunity for the Pharisees to try to entrap Jesus into healing a man on the Sabbath in violation of their rules, as he did not have a life-threatening malady. I think all of the rabbis agreed that in this particular case, if it's a withered hand, it's not a life-threatening situation. It doesn't have a throat disease. It's not one of the other arguable things. He just had a withered hand. Well, intent on catching Jesus, violating the Sabbath, on healing in violation of the rules, the leaders asked him if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. So this whole thing is a setup. And of course, Jesus, being the Son of God, can read it very clearly. Mark chapter 3, verse 3, and especially in the New International Version, reported that Jesus then told the man with the withered hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." So, you know, the Pharisees wanted to make this a big issue. Jesus said, "Let's make it a real big issue. Hey, stand up, man, in front of everybody." And so he's got the attention of everyone. You can see the humor of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of this thing. Before healing the man, Jesus asked one man in the synagogue who had a sheep that had fallen into a pit on the Sabbath, could not take hold of it and lift it out, what would involve a lot of work. In fact, I think if a donkey fell into the pit, and of course donkeys are a lot more difficult to pull out of a pit because you have some behavioral problems with donkeys on top of that, but donkeys are heavier, but they would not hesitate to pull, or a horse, to pull it out of a pit. But a man, oh no. This statement implicated the religious rulers as having more concern for an animal than for a man who was made in the image of Almighty God according to the Jewish scriptures. And that was a value system that was unrighteous. Remember Genesis 1:27, God made man in the image of God. So here they have a greater value on a sheep than they do of a man who's made in the image of God. Well, Mark 3:5 in the New International Version records that Jesus' hearers did not answer his question about pulling a sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath, and that he looked around on them with great anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. I think what really made Jesus angry is that they were valuing a sheep over a man. So he was looking around on all of them, and he was furious, absolutely furious, because of the injustice of this. So then Jesus stated that a man was more valuable than a sheep, so it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, such as healing a man or such as pulling a sheep out of a pit. So then Jesus commanded the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Now this is very interesting. Remember, it's a violation of the law, it's a violation of the rules of the Pharisees to administer a medicinal remedy, like a pill or something like that, or to touch a person, or to make an outward application to the body, like horse liniment or something, in order to calm down a sore that you have, except in cases of actual danger. So Jesus didn't touch this man. He didn't apply anything. He didn't give a pill. He had the man stretch forth, and he said, you stretch forth your hand. Jesus isn't touching him. He's not violating even their own legalism. So the man stretches out his hand, and guess what? He's completely restored just like his other normal hand. Just boom, like that. And it happens instantly, of course. Well, the afflicted man obeyed the Lord, and he was healed. Luke 6:11 reported that this event infuriated the religious leaders, for they knew that Jesus had not technically violated even their own legalistic rulings, but that he had supernaturally exhibited the healing power of God, while also critiquing their value in a sheep's welfare over the welfare of a man with a withered hand. So he had them cornered. You can see how this is leading to the cross. That's the design, to get them furious enough that they would put him on the cross. And so that's working within the plan of God as well. So everything's working just according to clockwork as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned. So Matthew 12:14 then adds that the Pharisees went out and convened a council against Jesus to consider how they might destroy him. So they were stoked, they were angry, they were furious, they wanted to kill him. And that fit within the plan of God. So when the Pharisees tried to entrap Jesus into healing a man on the Sabbath in violation of their added legalistic rules, Jesus exposed their hypocrisy and lovelessness in telling them that they would pull a sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath, though they would not heal a needy man. Jesus then healed the man by demonstrating God's miraculous power without violating even any of their legalistic rules of the Pharisees and the procedures of healing. He told the man, you stretch your hand out. And he did. And this is in front of everybody. It's very public. So Jesus says, you want to make this a public thing? I'll make it a public thing for you. So the application is, may we acknowledge Jesus Christ as God incarnate by his use of God's power miraculously, instantly, to heal a man with a withered hand. And number two, may we always value ministry to addressing the needs of people as important to God. It's very important. Ministering to needs of people is very important to God. Number three, may we never put God to the test like the Pharisees put Jesus to the test with the man with the withered hand, for that is sin. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:16 says, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. And remember, Satan came to Jesus and he said, cast yourself off of this pinnacle of the temple, because he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And Jesus says, it's written, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. And Jesus was God. He could have been talking about himself, or he could have been talking about God the Father protecting him. But either way, he couldn't do that. And number four, may we not make a person with a physical malady or a handicap an object of public note like the Pharisees did, but instead seek to help such a person and to honor him. You know, the very fact they saw this man there and they said, we're going to use this situation. We're going to trap Jesus. That was the whole goal. And so Jesus said, they've already made this guy a public thing, so have the man stand up in front, and then I'm going to heal you in front of all these people, and it's going to shame them. So Jesus honored this man by showing him God's favor by healing him. So it's so important that we treat people with honor. Every human being is made in the image of God, even bad human beings. Well, we're all sinners, let's put it, you know, like that. But every human being is in the image of God. And since every human being is in the image of God, we need to value that person like we would value a person who's representing God as in his image, because that person is. This is why murder is such a horrible thing. Some of these other crimes that people do demand capital punishment, because you're doing that crime to a person made in the image of God. It's ultimately a sin against God to hurt a human being, because that human being's in God's image. He bears God's image. So it's very, very important that we go out of our way to seek to be honoring to people, especially if a person has a physical malady, which is the product of sin, not necessarily that person's unique sin, but it is a general product of sin. If anything, we should seek to be as honoring and respectful to people as we possibly can. I'll never forget one day, I think I was in Price Chopper, the store in there, and there was a man who was in a wheelchair, pretty infirmed, and we were getting ready to go in line, I think, for a checker or something, and I saw that he was, you know, he was in the wheelchair, so I stepped back to let him go forward. And he says, "No, man, you're in front of me. Don't make room for me. You're in front of me." So I thought, out of respect for him, I'd do what he wanted to say. So I went in front of him. I felt awkward doing that. But he didn't want me to treat him in any special way just because he was handicapped. I was there first, so hey. And so I did that. And I felt that was the right thing to do. Years ago this happened. I was in O'Neill, Nebraska at a post office. And I went in there. And there was a nun. They had a nunnery there in the big Catholic church there. And I saw this nun there. She was dressed in her habit, the whole thing. And I stepped back because I wanted to be polite. She was not only a nun, she was a lady, and so you'd do that. And she said, "No, you were here in front of me. You go ahead." "Yes, ma'am." "Thank you, ma'am." I went ahead, you know. Because when a nun tells you to do something, you do it. I might have been pastor of Independent Bible Church, but that's all right. But I realized that there are things that we do, we don't think about it, but they can be dishonoring to people if we're not careful. I mean, we're trying to be honorable to people, but if they point something out that they think is dishonoring to them, because maybe it's a nun in a habit and we're making room for her, or it's a man in a wheelchair, and they say, "No, you're in line first, you go first." We need to respect that and go with it. I think, to me, it's a learning process. I'm still learning as to what to do to honor people and not to dishonor people. I don't try to dishonor people, but especially people with handicaps or who are dressed differently or maybe from a different culture, it's tough sometimes to know what to do, but God wants us to honor people. And that's what Jesus did with this man. They made him front and center publicly to use him in the wrong way. Jesus put him front and center in order to show the grace of God. And that's what God wants us to do.